Hey everybody, welcome to the Little Monsters Movie Podcast, and I'm Dino.
And Ted, Nanu Nanu.
Yeah, Mork and Mindy, what the heck? Why not?
I remember it.
Anyways, we're talking Poltergeist.
1982.
The original.
I don't think anybody out there can dispute. 1982 had to be one of the best years for movies. You know what came out in 1982? We had Poltergeist, we had E.T., we had Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. A lot of people like Tron. We had Tron. We had, did Mad Max 2 come out in 82? It was either 81 or 82, Road Warrior.
Okay, well, right around that time.
Blade Runner, my favorite movie.
Let's just say right around 1980, give or take a couple years both ways. Awesome movie.
82 has to be like the king year for genre movies.
Uh-huh.
The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing was 82.
Yeah, okay.
So many movies that we probably love to death. That list is all just like a bunch of my favorite movies.
Wow.
And
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
actually,
1982
but
was awesome. The only thing we were missing was an Indiana Jones movie and a Star Wars movie. Mm. We were going to get Return of the Jedi the next year, and we had Raiders of Lost Ark
the year before. Right around that, period there.
Hey, 80 to like 83. I mean, it's just so many great movies. So many of my favorite movies.
Yes. And this one. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen it.
And I just watched it this morning to review.
And so did I. And this movie is great.
It still grips.
Yeah, you could watch it today, which is why I can't wait to see the new one. I'm not saying I can't wait to see the new one, but I'm curious what it's going to be like.
You let me know.
But I'll let you know.
I did read like reviews of it. I mean, it's got kind of the new, just came out, I think, this weekend, right? Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
Okay. I don't think it's got like poor reviews. It's just, it is what it is.
Most fans say, I'm going to go see it, but, they're all just siding, it's the original, nothing going
on. I mean, I think they took, all the best stuff from the original probably and made it their own, different family, different setting probably.
Yep.
I'm sure they changed things up a little bit, but,
we'll see.
I'm that guy that just says all these remakes and reboots.
Which I agree mostly too.
I mean, I don't think the newer Planet of the Apes movies were terrible, but I mean, they pale to the first one,
right?
But
right.
Then, I don't know. Just sometimes maybe it'd be good. But I will say, and I know we're getting off the beaten subject here, but I did go see Mad Max Fury Road,
and
it is. Yeah. One of the best movies I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
And
okay.
Yes. Going on visually and symbolically in this movie. It's not just, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And
it's a remake that was just
it's not even
awesome.
So much a remake. It could fit kind of anywhere in the series. Okay. It's just a Mad Max story.
Okay.
Let's just put it that way. The fact that George Miller is a 70-year-old guy and he just showed up every action movie in the last 20 years.
Wow.
Real cars hitting real stuff, real stuntmen hitting the ground.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Wow.
And I can't say any. It's still in my head. I want to go see it again.
And hey, I'm waiting. I'm the kind of guy I don't like to go to the big crowd, so I like to.
It wasn't
wait,
too bad.
Wait
go on
until
weekday.
Little, yeah.
That's what I did. But I know, but just because we're talking about movies and. Fury Road. Thank you, George.
There we go.
Perfect.
Okay, The Poltergeist. Steven Spielberg.
I think I first saw this. Toby Hooper directed. Now, there's a little bit of back and forth if it was really Spielberg who mostly directed this.
Okay.
From what a lot of the actors say, Spielberg was on set pretty much every day giving the directions.
So he was just
overlooking
his shoulder.
Okay, do it.
I wonder if that's just to take Toby's name, because of the horror side of it.
From what I understand, it was that, from what I read, from what I've learned preparing for the show, Spielberg was under contract with Universal.
Yeah.
And he was doing E.T., and I think he was contractually, by contract, he was not able to do a film for another studio. So he couldn't actually direct this film and have his name on it.
Okay.
Toby Hooper is listed as director. A lot of the actors will say Spielberg was there and he was really the one calling the shots to Toby, and Toby would just say, yeah, do what he said. Even the lady that plays the little short psychic lady later on in the film, she said that every day she was there, it was pretty much Steven doing the directing.
She kind of
inferred
was.
That Toby was a little bit chemically... out of it a little
he was
bit.
A little high, but
But I don't know that for a fact. That's right. Just, you know, what I read and what a lot of the actors said. This movie does feel more like a Spielberg movie to me.
It does. To me, too.
Definitely. Even though, like, John Williams doesn't do the music, I hear common things that I would hear in John Williams' scores
right.
in the music. This seems more like a Spielberg movie to me than a Tobe Hooper movie. So, just with that. So, Tobe Hooper directs, Spielberg writes. This is actually one... He didn't... You know, back in the day, Steven Spielberg used to write his own stories. Mm-hmm. He wrote Close Encounters, and, you know, he helped write the screenplay for E.T. and, you know, and all that. Mm-hmm. So, and this is a film that he also helped write. So, he doesn't do that anymore. You know, at least, not so much.
Yeah, this was a all-inclusive Steven Spielberg movie.
Right, and it just, you know, it feels like Spielberg to me. And they even said, I remember when it came out, you know, like the summer of Spielberg, you had this, and then you had E.T., and, you know, you'd had Raiders of the Lost Ark the year before that. But the film kind of starts off in this little planned community. I forgot the name of it, but it's in California somewhere. Yeah.
All the houses look kind of the same. Pretty much. You know,
like it might be like a few different designs, and everyone's got kind of like the same house.
Right.
And it's nighttime, and they're all asleep in the house. Dad's asleep in the chair, like I am so many times.
Exactly,
and
what
I remember is when we were kids, the local channels, you know,
they
like
would
two
end
in
with
the
that,
morning.
They would end with that Memorial Day song.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of which
or a flag. I seem to remember like a flag.
Yeah, like a flag. And it would always cut out
and
after the music.
Like, you know, a lot of the local channels would do that. The big ones would have programming on, but the local channels, like 43, I think. Or maybe
most of the kids won't know anything about that. But
TV
that
used to be cut off.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And the TV goes to static. And I remember just, like, the dog wandering around. He's doing the rounds. He's
sniffing. Oh, yeah, he's going into
he's
everybody's...
He's scratching for food.
Yeah. He goes into even the bed because I guess all the kids have little snacks they tuck away with them in bed.
Yeah,
at night,
the
one
older daughter, she's got like a bag of Lay's. He picks it up, and it, when he picks it up, they all spill.
Yeah, it's just a big chunk of all the way. And then,
poor girl, she rolls over, crunch.
Yep, crackle.
And he's in the hallway licking up chips.
I got crumbs on my bed. Yeah.
And the young girl
walks. Yeah, she walks.
Carol Ann Freeling. I think that was is that her name? Freeling, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Go figure. I don't remember these things. She comes down the stairs. Something wakes her up. She comes down the stairs and starts talking to the TV.
Yeah,
right
up to the screen. Yeah.
And I watched this with my 5-year-old daughter today, who kind of, except for long hair, she's a little toe-headed, blondie, blue-eyed like that. And so that caught her interest right away. You know, she wanted to, because as a kid, she wants to watch it.
Right.
And, who's she talking to? And, and she's, I can't hear who she's talking to.
And this was the height of the paranormal research, like a lot of colleges, professors, people in that parapsychology type thing.
Right.
They all started getting into that.
We get a little
thing.
More of it with Ghostbusters a couple years later. They were on the college campus investigating.
But a big thing was with the static in the TVs and stuff like that. There was a lot of people doing research into, the other side, being in the static.
Inner space.
So I think that's where they kind of came up with the story and stuff. Yeah. Like, part of it. But
and it's just eerie. She's saying, you just hear her say, five, yes, yeah. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, just talking to...
Just such an innocent child. And, and everybody kind of wakes up and, who's she talking to? And
he wakes up and he's just kind of, they're staring at her, like wondering what's going on. And then the rest of the family's at the top of the steps doing the same thing, I mean, technically, I think I would have just said, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you... You get back to bed.
Right, like maybe she was sleepwalking.
Yeah, but no, they're...
Wide awake. And that was...
They're real intrigued at what's going on.
Right, that's a good way to suck you into the movie. What's this all about? And then it kind of goes into the, getting the view of the neighborhood.
And that's one of my favorite...
The guy on the bike?
Funniest part. Guy riding on a bike down the street.
His 24-pack of beer.
Yeah, 24 cans.
He's dripping sweat. But it's a little kid's bike. It's like his boy's bike.
Yeah, he ran up the street and on his bike to get some beer.
He couldn't drive.
Because they're all watching the football game.
Right.
But there's three kids, they're sitting on the curb, and they got their radio-controlled cars, and they just start racing it after them. And it's just...
They make them... Crisscross
in front of him, and he's not hollering at him or nothing. He's just—he's got to get that beer in the house.
He jacks his jewels on the bar of the bike. Beers are all over the street, spraying. And I love how he runs into the house And beer is just spraying.
He dives in front of the TV because I don't know what team is playing football wise, but yeah, he's diving in there and spraying on the other guys, and they're all still going, rooting on the team.
Yeah, the TV, you can't really see who's playing. I know there's like a Rams helmet in the boys' room, and so maybe that's who it was.
Yeah.
But beer is going everywhere, and they're all yelling, and it's just a really funny part. And it feels like a Spielberg thing when it flips to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
because the neighbors got the same remote control. That
I don't know if anybody remembers that either.
So the next door neighbor, pointing to the next house, changing the channel.
He goes out there, hey, George, we're trying to watch the game here, and the guy, he's big.
Kids want to watch Mr. Rogers.
My kids want to watch Mr. Rogers.
And then they're going back and forth with the remote.
Changing.
Oh, and, classic.
I just remember the one guy sitting there watching the game going, come on, I got my life bet on this game. Come on.
He'll be in the gutter soon. Everything is just relying on that.
It's just quaint. It's 80s. You remember the console TVs? That's what I had. It's like a nice piece of furniture. I kind of wish they still made those with the newer TVs almost. It was a nice piece of furniture.
Yeah. And he had the best of stuff, but I mean, you look at it and it's like, typical 80s. Yeah. But
we had something like that until I was high school.
Same here. Hey, I used to have a coat hanger on the back of the TV. Right. So, picking up stations about 100 miles away or something like that. But anyways,
So, that's their Sunday. I think there's another little cute scene where the parakeet dies and...
She finds the mother.
The mom's about to flush
Jill Beth Williams.
Yeah.
But we always mention she's a looker. She's the pretty one in this movie.
She was. She's
a little something about her, she finds a little canary or parakeet.
Yeah, something like that.
It might even be a canary, but anyways, finds it and she's getting ready to flush it down the toilet. And Carol Ann, the little girl, comes up and sees her, and she was caught. Right? Thank God she caught her before it dropped down.
No.
But then she had to go through the whole procedure of putting it in a cigar box. Mommy, it's going to stink.
Yeah, he doesn't like Tweety doesn't like the smell. Give him a flower. And then it's just so cute. She's got licorice in her mouth.
She puts that
when he gets
in there,
hungry. Yeah. Puts a picture of her in there when he gets lonely and a little paper towel. And
keep him warm at night. Yeah.
So cute. Such a cute kid. And it's such a shame what happened to her later on. She did the other two Poltergeist movies and then...
one of the tragic accidents.
Right, and we're going to get into that, the Poltergeist curse.
Yeah.
Because I think between the first one and the third one, like six of the actors died, including, this young Heather O'Rourke died of
intestinal abnormality, bowel obstruction.
So, and I remember that, because she was about she had been about the same age as I am now. I'm 40, and I think we were about the same age. So, when this film came out. They bury it in the backyard. And I love how the brother, Robbie, he's up in a tree. This knobby, old, ugly tree that I can't figure out why anybody would keep it in their yard.
Oh, yeah, you can tell it. Well, you can tell, actually, that Spielberg, manufactured this tree because it becomes a part later in the movie.
Right.
But he's up there, and he sees the big storm clouds coming and stuff.
Right, and when he sees them burying it, when it rots, can we dig it up and see the bones?
Yeah, that's what he says,
And he's such a wuss the rest of the movie, I can't imagine him even wanting to see the bones. But,
exactly.
And, as soon as they bury it, the dog starts digging it up. What's the dog's name? Is it
remember.
Ibis or something. They give it some weird name. Yeah. I can't remember what the dog's name is. But.
You know, the one thing that really is kind of awesome and kind of, the boys' room, the kids' room, Carol Ann and the little boys. And what's his name again?
Robbie.
Okay, Robbie and Carol Ann. The Steven Spielberg did it on purpose. There's Star Wars stuff everywhere. The light switch is Star Wars.
I used to have
the
that
sheets,
same...
Posters.
Light switch, the C-3PO thing, I had that exact same one. The sheets on Robbie's bed, I had those sheets.
The Darth Vader case.
But wait, this is. I still have those sheets, and my son is using them on his bed. My sheets from 1980, Empire Strikes Back, he's using them right now.
You didn't wear them out.
A little bit, but
that's
good.
All right, yeah.
My dad saved them for me.
Cool. And, that's awesome, man.
And if you, I don't know, you might remember my room when I lived at my parents' house. I had Empire Strikes Back wallpaper.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I still have a couple rolls of it. Really nice looking wallpaper scenes from the film. Wow. And you're right, he's got the Darth Vader case, posters, alien posters. I mean, all that cool stuff is there.
Yeah.
And
but the Star Wars stuff was just situated everywhere, even later in the film, that they'll turn around and there's a little action figure sitting there on the bed.
A lot of Star Wars stuff.
A little, like he did it on purpose.
Well, he and George Lucas are very close friends. And
yeah, so evidently that's why. He said, I'm going to put something everywhere, eh? Roll camera. Yes. Oh, wait, hold on. Luke Skywalker isn't over next to Robbie.
But I mean, even to make it more realistic, you know, in 1982, this is what kids would have been into. It's what my room looked like.
Yep, mine too.
I think I had more.
Yeah.
You know? And I like how he painted his Darth Vader case. The eyes are red.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool. Awesome. But you know, like his side's all Star Wars, and then her side of the room is kind of girly. And she's
because they shared a room,
right?
Unfortunately,
and we get our first look at that evil-looking clown doll.
Oh, I love that clown doll.
I know.
I love the clown doll there.
That's right. There's our boy. And the mom comes in and gives them all a little kiss goodnight. You know, they need the light on in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just been a regular night, you know? It's been a good night, but there's a storm coming, and Robbie, we find in this movie, really does not like thunderstorms.
Oh, no.
And there's people that just, you know, do get frightened of that. My grandmother, remember, would go in the bathroom. She hit a thunderstorm.
Really?
Yeah. Just, you know, that crash and boom really bothered
me. No, I could see that. But, I mean, not to mention, too, that Robbie, right outside his window, is that creepy looking tree.
Right.
And when the lightning hits, it looks like an actual face on the side of the...
I was just
going
to say that the knots on the tree
almost
look like spooky faces.
Yeah, like skull. I mean, you can't really see a face or skull in the light and stuff, but the shadow and lightning hit, and it makes it look like
if
that.
I was, you know,
so I'd be scared.
I'd be scared, too.
I mean, I remember being scared when, you know, the shadows of the trees hitting
those little moments like that. And, you know, that tree, just the texture, you know, now they would just probably CGI the hell out of it, but just the texture of everything, you know, just, it looked real, it looked like a regular 80s American family, you know, mom and dad, they're in the bedroom, smoking a little doob, and I love it, the dad's reading, you know, the conservative Ronald Reagan biography, and they're rolling a J at the same time.
And he gets pissed because he's not the one that rolls them, because she's pissed.
He's
pissed, so he throws, he's got it all over the bed. So
he's probably smoking it.
No.
Yes.
But he wasted half of what was there, so, you know. But he can afford it because he's got a good
His
job.
His wife's already sitting on the bed. Yeah, he's like some kind of land developer. He's actually involved in the development of this area that he lives in. So the wife's getting all, you know, silly in the background. They're all dubbed up until
the kid runs in and spoils it on him.
I don't know if my wife had ever seen this movie all the way through, but I'm kind of a chunky guy here, and I've done that before, like what he does in the film, that, you know, before, after. And we were watching it this morning, and she was sitting there. She watched some of it with me and my daughter.
Yeah,
she's like, I've seen you do that before.
I've done that before. Yeah, you could push your gut way out. Suck it in, weigh in.
When I suck it in, I'm still, you know, just makes my chest look really big.
You go before. No.
Yeah, you know, just before, suck in a little bit more. So,
anyway.
But that's kind of funny about it, you know, just a little, you know, banter.
Starting off a little humor before the wildness starts.
Just showing that the family's close.
Right.
You know, that's what I feel.
Fun, close.
Because Robbie comes in, he's afraid of the storm, you know, and mom takes her last quick hit of that. But you got to think, does everybody in this house, they got a teenage daughter who's like 16, 17?
And we'll get...
Come on.
Later on, we'll talk about that. Yeah,
yes, her.
The scene where... they start digging the pool up. I can jump ahead. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we got to assume you guys have all seen this.
Yeah. But, I mean, to where she goes to her friend's house or something, but she jumps on a bike. She's going out the back, and the construction...
She's going to school.
Three construction guys are back there digging the pool. They know these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going, I love you, I love you. And they're whistling and going, woo-woo. And she's being all, like, sexy, too, and going... And then she gives them F you and the thing. You know. And the mother's laughing and just giggles and turns her head. And I'm like, boy, have times changed.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get away with nothing like that, man.
I guess when you work in construction, that's just, it's a prerequisite.
Right.
Do you like to catcall at women, you know, in the interview process?
Yeah. So, but that was funny.
Yeah.
And when the guy, he actually reaches in while they're working on the pool. He's taking stuff off the windowsill, the right. food on the inside.
Just tasting the sauce.
Drinking the coffee. Yeah. Seeing how it is. He's a little more sugar.
And his name is Bluto. She calls him Bluto. Okay, Bluto, give me back my cup.
Oh, it was great. But yeah, anyways, that was
jumping. That's a little ahead. That's like the next morning.
Right, the next morning.
But Robbie comes in, you know, when they're getting a little toked, and doesn't say anything about what's that awful smell.
Right. They must be used to mommy and daddy smoking.
I guess so. But it shows the family is close because dad, you know, he immediately picks up his boy, puts him on his shoulders, takes him in there. And yeah. actually doesn't just put his butt back to bed and yell at him. You know, he takes a little bit of time with him
and explains
to him how you can tell when the storm is getting closer or further away. And that's how I learned how to do it.
Right.
By watching this movie. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he spends a few minutes and teaches that to him and settles him down a little
bit. The longer the time before the lightning and the thunder hit, the farther away it's getting. So he's at 3.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes to 4, oh, thank God.
It's going away. And that's what happens in the movie.
Yeah.
It's going away. So he falls asleep. And you know, then they'll have their next morning where now they start digging the pool in the backyard.
I do like he does cover the clown with his jacket. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just
Chewbacca on the back.
Yeah. Right, Chewbacca on the back, mm-hmm. yeah. But it's sitting at the end of his bed on a chair, and you would think if it bothers him so much, I would
have,
put it in a closet where, you know, the hell breaks loose. But anyways, yeah.
Send it back where it belongs.
Yeah.
I think I even read that in the novelization of the movie. It even talks about how he found the clown and all that stuff. So it was like a found object. So.
Yeah.
She
was even talking on the phone. Like, she's talking to spirits,
I think. Is she talking to somebody on the phone?
Could be.
And I love how she says, you know, Daddy, they want to talk to you. And he's like, you take a message for me, pumpkin. And she's just so cute in this movie. Reminds me of my own kid, and he's just cute.
It does make you sad.
And so, you know, you think Robbie's going to be okay. The thunder cracks, and then I remember, like, the next scene, they're all four of them, two kids.
Just
and
sleeping in bed.
They're all in bed together.
Yeah, ended up there anyways. which, you know, we've all
When you have your
that.
Kids in bed, you don't get no sleep.
No. They did.
My daughter is sleeping in bed with me and my wife, and I get kicked, and I can't stand it. You get no sleep. But the TV goes to fuzz again because they left the TV on.
Yeah.
And this time it's a little bit more...
A lot of people back then, they always went to sleep with the TV mm-hmm. going, and you always get that static and stuff. It would wake you up. You go turn
it
off. But yeah, this is the big scene. Where
and, you know, she gets up and goes to the TV and looks at it. And I think this is where the little kind of like electrical... Oh, it's a little like a hand that kind of comes out, and she gets a little startled back. But then a bolt shoots out into the wall right above the bed.
Right.
And then an earthquake kind of ensues.
Yeah.
And just that flashing strobe on there, like, I feel like I'm going to have, like, a seizure.
Oh, yeah.
Watch it. I can't imagine. I didn't get to see this film in a theater, you know, being in a dark theater and just seeing that
all that
constant
flashing
strobe.
Like that. Yeah.
And that's where the classic line comes in, you know, she turns around and, you know,
there. Yeah.
Which is, you know, just pop culture right there. I mean, everybody knows that line.
Heck yeah.
And, you know, they assume that they've experienced an earthquake the next morning. You know, everything's cool and dad's on the phone with, I don't know if it's an insurance agent or something like that.
Yeah.
But you're like, no one else experienced it. It's not on the news. It's not in the papers.
Yeah, he says it's knocked everything down. It's a mess over here.
Right.
Stuff, but, yeah.
And kids are sitting at the table, you know, having breakfast, doing kid stuff. And this is when things start, you know, getting a little strange.
Yeah.
What does it start with? It starts with, I think, a glass breaking, and Robbie just picks up a glass. Just picks up a glass, and it just shatters all over the place.
And the older sister gets pissed, and then Robbie sees that his fork and spoon's, like, totally
bent.
You know.
And this is the part that you're talking about when the daughter... Dana, I think her name is, leaves for school, and the cat calls.
Yeah.
Which is a good little funny. And I like that, you know, it mixes the humor, the tense moments with just a little laugh.
Yeah, that's the thing I was telling you earlier. Steven Spielberg's got a certain style to his horror movies. It's got the comedy in there
tense
a little
moments.
Bit. And there's one scene in here we'll get to that's, I wouldn't even call it gory, because even though it's a very horrific gory, depending on who did it, it could be gory, or it could be scary, or it could be what we see in here. It's, he's got that, you know, it's not real red blood
Right.
But you know, that's the way I take it. It's, yeah. You can have your kid watch, and they may look at it and go, oh, you know, but they're not going to be, like, definitely scared, I don't mm-hmm. think, you know, of it, but...
Yeah, even like in the Indiana Jones movies, you know, he balances those really tense scenes with a bit of humor.
Exactly.
And that's what makes him so enjoyable, I think. Yeah. And so,
those Carol Ann goes back to, there's another
little TV in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. It's a shame they got so many TVs in the damn house.
She turns it to static, and what I love is she's sitting there just watching the static, and mom comes by and says, oh, no, honey, that's not good for you. Hits the button, and there's some violent war movie on.
Yeah.
People scream.
That's fine.
It's okay. And she hits the button again and goes right back to the static.
Yeah.
And, but before that, when they're at breakfast, the mom says, you know, to Carol Ann, you remember when you said they're here last night?
And, yeah.
You know, she, I don't know, maybe she felt like she was in trouble. She's like, yeah. She's like, you know, who is it? And I like how she says, you know, the TV people.
The TV people.
Yeah, TV people. That's awesome. That's what I kept telling to my daughters. Like, it's the TV people.
It's the TV people.
You know, and...
And then later, yeah, she's probably going to be scared to death now.
Well,
you don't see the static on TV no more.
Right.
You should get an old VHS tape where it's got the static and just play it at night for them one time.
That's how I like to start the show.
On Halloween.
Just static or that woo, you know, where when you had to adjust the knob to get it, you know,
the outer
limits.
Get
it in focus, boys! But this is the part in the kitchen where, you know, everyone's left now, and the chairs keep being scoot out.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, did you do that? Mom's like, you know, Carol Ann, did you do that? No. And then I love it. She pushes all the chairs in. She
turns her head for
one big scene. There's
second.
I don't see any cuts.
No.
You know, she turns over here. She goes in the cabinet to get something, comes back, and all the chairs are
stacked up like really weird, like on angles where the two legs are
still
off. But, you know, once you take one chair out, they would all just fall.
Right.
Pyramidal.
Very, very cool scene, you know, the back and forth like that. And, you know, she's like, did you see them do it? You know, and Carol Ann didn't see them, but she says it's the TV people. And at first it's pretty benign, you know. Dad comes home from work, and they've got this whole little diagram thing on the kitchen floor.
While he was at work, before he came home,
they did experiments all day.
Yeah, she's just been playing around with this poltergeist type
this,
stuff
whatever this
going
is.
On.
Yeah. And they've got like this circle on the floor with a chair.
Oh shoot, I gave it away. Poltergeist.
Oh, spoiler!
Darn it!
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, anyways.
And the chair kind of wiggles a little bit and then slides across the floor, and she's got it, you know, demarked on the floor
where
it stops.
Yeah, she got the circle with the legs circled, too.
Yeah.
So she knew it. I mean, she was
doing
this all day.
And I love how she lets her kid do it. Here, put the Rams
put the helmet on. And
that's
you
one
sit
thing
there.
That I may not have done. I don't think I would have put my kid there and let spirits.
Yeah, it makes you think, did she actually stand in there and it started pushing her and she said, oh, wow. Or did she at first experiment with her daughter? I mean...
Right. I think probably she did it first, but she describes it as like a tickling and then the tickle pulls you.
Right, so she
it's
had
like there's no air, but you can breathe. And the dad is just sitting there against the wall watching this.
Freaked out and filling for like, he's seeing what is this
race. Yeah, he's freaked out. He's like, no, I don't want to try it.
No.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to go in the kitchen until I figure out what's going on.
Yeah, he tells
and the whole time that they're doing this, she told, it sounded like my kid, because when she comes into the kitchen, Carol Ann's like, I'm hungry. Okay, we'll get Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
And then she's sliding, you know, I want pepperoni pizza.
Yeah. At this point, the mother's just intrigued with what's going on.
And
know?
I guess in some way, at first, I probably would be too.
Right.
I mean, who wouldn't want to experience something like that if it was benign? And that's exactly what it starts off as, you know, not going to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
But that slowly changes. They check with the neighbor, the guy, the Mr. Rogers guy with the remote. They check with him to see if there's been any disturbances. And I love this scene because they're standing out there smacking themselves because they're getting bit by mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And the other guy who looks like prime beef.
Yeah.
You know, he's a big guy. And he's standing out there. He's like,
and his little son's just little him, you know.
Yeah.
Pop. You know.
Yeah, I know. He says, you know, the mosquitoes never bit me. He's like, son, has a mosquito ever sucked on you? And I don't know, Pop.
They're just so nonchalant, eating their food.
Yeah, you can just tell they're the kind of family that like eats while they watch the TV, and that's what I envision. So they feel like jackholes for you know, even bringing this up to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, we're going to go stay at a hotel. I don't want anybody to go in the kitchen. I'm going to figure this out.
Right.
I'm going to go talk to some people and try to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, things are going to, you know, take a turn for the worst here coming up.
Yeah,
So,
I like how they put all that, what's that, pink
stuff. Oh, the calamine lotion.
Calamine lotion that they would put on there, yeah.
Mosquito bites itch, but they're not that bad. But this is the night, you know, storm again is coming through, and as Robbie's counting, the storm's getting closer, and this is when that tree's going to come in there. I mean, the tree busts through the window, and it looks like hands.
Oh, yeah, it picks them up, the branches.
And brings them through. And it then tries to eat him.
Yeah, his body's slowly going in like it's eating him.
The dad tries to open the window. The branch closes it shut. Yeah. And what I feel is it's all just a big ploy to get all of them out of the house.
Because they all go chasing outside to get
Robbie
out of the tree.
By herself. Yeah. And this is when the closet door opens. The bright light's starting to come out. Everything's getting sucked in. And the poor kid, she's
classic
on
scene,
for dear
life. Oh yeah, she's
to
just
the bed.
Straight out.
And when the bed frame starts breaking, my daughter's watching, going, "She's breaking her bed!
She's breaking her bed!
She's breaking her bed!"
Oh man, classic. Poor girl.
But yeah, you know, there's like a twister outside, and Dad ends up being able to get Robbie out of the tree. And then the tree looks like it just gets like sucked into this twister.
Yeah, almost like a black tornado type thing.
Yeah, it doesn't touch anything else. No other homes, anything like that.
So that's their way of just thinking it's, well, although in a few minutes they're going to go upstairs and find out.
Right.
Which, like, it's so sympathetic to the Carol Ann. I mean, even just putting aside her death, you know what I mean, in real life.
Yeah.
You just feel sorry for this sweet little girl, you know, and all this bad stuff that's happening to her.
I gotta think this creature is probably just attracted to her life force and her innocence.
Which they say, later on. But, yeah, everything sucked into that closet.
I know, and there's so much debris. I mean, toys and furniture and stuff. But there's like
silver confetti, a pound of it, coming out from underneath the bed.
Like, what is this?
They're not vacuuming.
What is this crap?
They need a vacuum
all
box.
All the posters off the wall, everything. And the all sheets off the bed.
All those eBay collectibles.
Yeah, gone. It's been worth a mint now. But yeah, she gets sucked in, and they get back in the house and realize, you know, Carol Ann's not there.
And they're looking all over the place.
And they see the closet, and they start tearing everything out of the closet. And the classic, you know, the
they
last
think
thing
she's
in
sitting
there
yeah.
under a blanket.
Yeah, just sitting back there, and it looks like she's underneath that blanket. And they think she's dead.
Yeah, they get
because
that
because they're
like,
sad.
No movement.
Right. And they pull it off. And
it's the clown.
Yeah.
And so the rest of the...
It's the clown. We can't get away from clowns.
And the rest of the family, they just go searching the house. And like she's like, you know, I'll go, I think the daughter says, I'll go check the kitchen. And Dad's like, no, I'll go check the kitchen.
Right. Don't go in the kitchen.
So it still, stays, the continuity there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mom, when they can't find her, Mom gets the idea that maybe she's, because they make a comment about this when they're getting high, that, you know, what if we start, because they thought maybe Carolina had a sleepwalk.
Right.
And like, what if we're digging that pool back there and she goes and jumps in there when, you know.
Yeah, that's right. They mentioned that.
So he jumps in there swimming around.
Yeah.
Because, it's not been filled in with concrete yet, but it's got the
shape of the
the shape of the pool, and there's a lot of rain.
Shallow end, deep end is there.
So
all
Dad's
out.
Swimming, or Steve, I think his name is swimming around in the deep end.
And they
find her.
They hear
Robbie. Because Robbie's still in the house. In the bedroom by the TV, which is on and staticky, and he starts hearing, mommy, and I gotta laugh this one part, and it's not Robbie's fault. He's growing up, and but when the mom comes in and hears Carol Ann's voice, she's all excited, and Robbie's like, mom, come here, and it's the part where they're standing right in front of the TV. He's got his new grown-up teeth.
Oh,
and the shadow of him are sticking out. He looks like Bugs Bunny.
That's his tooth.
Carol Ann! I don't know why I always remember that part. I know. I said it's not his fault.
He's a poor little boy.
He's a little boy. You can't help it. You know, he's getting his new teeth. But just the angle that they chose to shoot
him.
Stick out like
it's like a black outline in front of a white, And his buck teeth. And they're on an angle.
Right. But he did such a great shot. You know, the fear he showed there, that was just great.
Yeah.
It was really, I believed it. And I'm not knocking him at all. Just that angle that they chose to shoot it at. It wasn't very
forthgiving. Exactly, I hear you.
It wasn't his fault.
No, poor kid and his buck teeth. Anyways, what gets me too is he immediately, I think, goes and seeks out paranormal researchers at the
time. I think we assume some time has gone by.
Yeah, but it couldn't have been that much time.
No,
because you would
not.
Definitely go to the cops or somebody.
Well, he mentions he's talking to the people in the paranormal department at this university.
Right.
And
there's a woman and two men.
Right. Dr. Lesh, and I forget the other two fellas' names, but
the black guy looks like the guy who sings Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Ray Parker Jr. Yeah, Ray Parker Jr.
He looks like Ray Parker Jr., but he's not. But,
yeah. Coincidence. He'd have been a good person to have, because he knows who you got to call.
Yeah.
And but clearly, they Mr. Freeling looks like he hasn't slept.
Oh yeah.
Some time has gone by. They've asked if he's told anybody about it. And he even says, I haven't even gone to the police about this. What do you say? I mean, they're going to think we're crazy. No one's going to believe any of these things that are going on.
I guess
they were to come here and see it for themselves.
Yeah, I think because, really, I think they're hearing her voice still through the TV.
Right, and there's mysterious things going on in the house.
Yeah, that's probably what's keeping them from going to the police. But right. I still can't... they never mention how much time's gone by.
I get what you're saying about the police.
Nevertheless.
What could police do?
Exactly.
You need to go to someone who can do something. They know she's in the house somewhere.
And they all three come to the home.
To the home. And I love how Ray Parker Jr. says that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. The matchbox car.
He says, I filmed a matchbox car go 7 feet across a kitchen floor. It took 7 hours, but I've got it on time lapse camera.
So
and he's like,
he thinks that's such a big deal. Yeah, and his father's looking at him like, what the?
And he mentions, they ask, what kind of activity's been going on in the room, the children's room. Yeah. He's like, we don't go in the children's room anymore.
Right.
And then he tells him about the story about the matchbox car. He opens the door, and whoa.
They're like, holy crap.
Whoa. There are things flying all over the room. It's like Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
It's moving around. Yeah. Records, if you remember what records were, flying all around.
Yeah, and midair just whipping around and everything.
And if this movie had been in 3D, this scene would have looked awesome. Because there's the part with the compass, the compass that you used to draw a circle, comes right at the lady, face first. And then it kind of moves back and goes and plays on a record. Yeah. This would have been the money shot for the 3D scene.
Yes. The clowns on the
bed. This would have, and even as it stands, as you watch it, it's still got kind of that 3D look to it.
Right.
And all three of these people, they're paranormal researchers, and they're just, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Well, even when she's drinking the coffee or tea or whatever, her hands are shaking.
They've never seen nothing like this before.
Later, we know that coffee and tea ain't what she likes to drink.
No.
She's got her little flask.
She's got a flask. You want a cup for that?
Yeah.
No.
But, they don't know what's going on. I mean, even while they're sitting at the table, the lights are flashing, coffee pots freaking moving across the table.
Well, the one guy even... questions, he's looking for a CB or
something.
Yeah,
with the TV.
He says, I don't believe it. Or at least he don't, So, so they're trying to figure out what's going on. They're all still kind of in shock.
And I love how the family's sitting at the one end of the table and it's been going on for however long now. You can tell, the teenage daughter, Dana, she's just really freaked out about this.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's a character that they kind of let go. She's not like a big part of the movie.
No, she's
other
not.
Than the scene where the construction workers are
right.
Want her really
and that would
bad,
probably be like how a teenager would be. They tend to want to take more solace in their friends,
exactly,
than family, and so they even say she's spending a lot of time with friends, and the boy's just kind of dealing with it in his own way.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they kind of look at the TV, and they do start hearing her voice.
Yeah.
When mommy starts this is like the family ritual. They turn the TV on and they start calling her name and they'll hear her. And we hear her better on this channel.
Right, yeah. Yeah. We pick her signal up. And the paranormal researchers got all their big giant equipment.
I like that they have a microphone taped to the TV. They're ready.
They know what they're doing, I guess. For what they had, the equipment back then.
Right.
I mean
I don't think they know how to. They're there to research it. I don't think they know how to get her back.
No,
they end up having to bring someone else in for that. I think once they determine that this is the real deal.
If you've seen it before, the classic little old lady, psychic, comes later.
When they're there talking to Carol Ann and hearing her voice on occasion, that's when they start getting this, reading, this anomaly reading, and just like right in the living room, just this little flash opens up and all this crap just falls at
dust. Vortex opens up and all
I don't know if it's their things or just...
I think he says later on that's his... But the other thing's like 100 years old.
I don't remember then, that. I watched it today, but I don't remember that. Okay. But he does pick up the things like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know if there was it was a watch, jewelry, and things. I don't know if these things necessarily belong to them. But they start kind of putting it together that, you know, she vanished through the closet. So yeah. Maybe that's the entrance into this, I'm going to say like another dimension, or they right. use the word inner space in the movie.
Inner space,
and then
yeah.
this is the exit. And that's going to start setting up how they're going to get her out and you know, get in and get out. But
I think it's that limbo, the mm-hmm. right before, you know, you pass on to the light, because
right.
they start going through all this stuff where the light is there, and you know,
she mentions she's afraid of the light,
right?
In there, and I love how the mom says, "Go to the light, go to the light," and then the doctor lets you, "No,
tell don't me go to the light, don't go to the light,
stay the hell away from
yeah,
the light.
You'll be gone."
And then there's that little scene. I don't really get what that was all about, but like she feels like a little whoosh. And like her spirit goes through the mom. I don't know exactly how that happened, or
I think it's because the whole house itself is, you know, they're able to roam in not as big a way as you see later on in the film.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how in real, I was going to say real life, but
yeah, really,
you know, when there's people think there's ghosts and stuff, you hear noises, uh-huh. you feel cold spots and stuff like that.
So
there's still all. Inhabiting this limbo, which is overtaking the whole house.
Okay.
And the spirit like went through her, and mm-hmm. she felt it, you know.
So like, maybe she's in another dimension. She can't see her family. Maybe she can hear them. And I guess I could kind of envision her running all around the house. You know, "Mommy, where are you?" And maybe she ran down the stairs and, you know, in the
right.
dimension that she's in.
Exactly. That's okay. what they say, the ghost and stuff like that, mm-hmm. kind of enveloped. It's between both worlds,
right.
you know.
And the TV's kind of the conduit where they can communicate with her.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess that's how I would envision it.
Because it's energy, technically. So if it's the essence of her in limbo, mm-hmm. and she's taking the space up and hits her, and, you know, it's just, that's what, you know.
So like in another dimension, she's in that house. It's just...
Right.
Dimension. That's what I...
Whereas later on, when they got the video camera up there, and they start showing all the spirit, which I think mm-hmm. happens soon.
Yeah.
The spirits, you can see them through the camera.
Right.
Which is a pretty darn expensive camera.
Right.
So these researchers have some money. I don't know if they skimmed it off the top at the college. You know, we'll use this.
Well, I mean,
the
they would be funded. Yeah. I mean,
no,
other
right,
types of departments
right.
like that would be funded, and as long
yeah.
as you showed results in
exactly.
your work or got published or something like that, they would continue. The university would continue.
In the late 70s was a big, like mm-hmm. I said, big time for this paranormal research, this kind of stuff.
Right.
So I can see it.
So that happens, and then not Ray Parker Jr., but the other guy that's working with Dr. Lesh. Comes running down the stairs because you hear a big growl or something. He comes running downstairs saying, "Something took a bite out of me."
Oh.
And he lifts up his shirt, and it's not like there's no gore or anything, but there's like bite marks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like as big as a basketball going all
around.
Oh,
yeah. It's like a shark actually bit
mm-hmm.
him. So whatever bit the side of his body actually took a big chunk out. You know,
yeah.
Not chunk out of him, but bite marks on it. Yeah, and I would have been out of there, man.
Right. And so nighttime's falling on, and... you know, they're kind of, the doctors are all kind of whispering, you know, what they think and whatever. And
mm-hmm.
I think the white, there's a black guy and a white guy over there.
Yeah.
And I don't know their names, but the white guy, I remember he said something like, you know, "We got to get some readings up there," or something like, "But I'm not going back."
No,
up there.
He was bit up there.
Yeah,
man.
He's scared.
Just,
he
yeah.
ends up leaving. He ends up leaving the
yeah.
project. You know, a little too much for me. You know, I'd have stuck it out.
Man.
I'd want to know what's going on. I'd have stuck it out.
Well, I don't know. Those bites were pretty darn big, though, man. And it looked like it looked like it kind of, that would, you know, infected. I mean, this blood is red. You know,
I don't know what antibiotic you prescribed for that.
Oh, I'd be having the mother put McCaracom all over it, iodine, and I'd be taking an alcohol bath. I mean,
And then it starts getting into some stuff, the two ladies are talking.
Yeah, a little personal interaction.
And that's when she pulls her little flask out. And Robbie's sleeping next to her, and he starts saying some things, you know, like, kind of profound for a child.
Yeah.
But he's actually the one that kind of puts the idea, I think, in the heads of them. You know, he says, like, you know, if I died, would I be in the TV?
Right.
Or, and he mentioned something about maybe, you know, about tying a rope to me and bringing me back and something
yeah.
like that. He's the one that mentions that whole thing about the rope,
right.
which is going to come in later. Because it does seem kind of silly that this is how they get her out, but it makes sense in terms of the movie.
Yeah.
He mentions watching...
And the fact that he mentions the rope, too, mm-hmm. which is, you know, yeah, like you said.
And that's what they end up doing.
Yeah.
He mentions, like, what his grandfather, when he died, he's like, he looked for the soul to leave, and he's like, but I didn't see anything rise out.
Right. And the town is invisible.
Right, I mean, just for an 8-year-old child to take a few moments to focus on this stuff, and then they're both talking to him and trying to explain things as best as they know how.
Right.
Just like a cool moment that I don't think, you know, would probably be in most films like this nowadays.
Yeah.
To take, you know, they want to jump to the scares and things like that.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the quiet family moment. And that's what makes this movie special.
Oh, yeah.
And if the new one does something like that, great. If not, you know, but I envision it, you know, kids all on their iPads and their phones and not really dealing with the situation.
Xbox, yeah.
Exactly. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I am. So.
Yeah, whereas this was a little personal scene with nothing but
right.
them laying together and holding each other.
Mm-hmm.
The new movie, I could see you, like you said, they're playing their Xbox games, not
exactly.
even caring what's going on. Let's hope they don't take it that way, but
right.
Who knows?
You know, an 8-year-old child gets a little existential for a moment. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm willing to bet dollars and donuts that they
yeah.
don't do that in a new one.
And this was, yeah, I mean, and this movie's just... great.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Quiet little moment that I really like. It's
yeah.
it's these little quiet moments that bring the family together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because really what happens, you know, this family is just, you know, for the most part, you know, doing whatever they can to get their little girl back.
Yeah.
And, you know, they become this really tight-knit unit.
Yeah.
I mean, the teenage daughter, she's there, but, you know, like mentally she's kind of out of it.
Yeah.
The
couple times they show her, she's just crying.
Right.
I mean, you know.
I mean...
Which is, you know...
But the mom and dad, you know, they try to keep their cool as much as they can for the other child. And I think he deals with it remarkably well, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, he, you know, asking these deep questions, you know,
yeah.
he's actually thinking about it.
And they're all sleeping at this point, and
we get to one of the best parts of the movie.
Yeah, the white guy.
And this is probably the nail in the coffin that makes him leave.
Oh, yeah. He's hungry, so he goes to the kitchen.
He just pulls a steak out of their fridge.
A raw, gigantic T-bone steak.
Yeah, and he's just... I hope he brought it with him.
Yeah, because, you know, that's nowadays it's like $20,
yeah,
something
he
has
to eat the whole thing. It's big. I know,
but
it's going to shrink.
He flops
down.
It on the counter, too.
I know. No
he,
plate,
he,
no
he doesn't
nothing.
Care that the kids may get salmonella, E. coli the next morning.
Right. Big no.
I mean, you know.
The other guy's a bachelor.
Yeah.
And
so,
then he looks, you start hearing this icky noise, and it's one of my favorite parts that I remember as a kid when it just starts... Oh, and he's also got a chicken leg in his mouth.
Yeah,
doing it, by the way.
Yeah,
and it just starts
fried chicken leg
oozing across the counter, and it just
opens up.
Yeah, just like the inside meat just plops
yeah,
out.
Yeah, stuff just starts coming from everywhere, just
right.
like the inside.
And
of
the chicken that he's eating drops on the floor, and he looks down, and there's
maggots all on it.
Horrible! It's horrible.
And what's he do? He runs to the
bathroom.
Because
I think he's like gonna retch.
Yeah, he's yeah,
or no, rinse his mouth.
Rinse his mouth out with
right,
the water and
right.
water, and he looks up. And what does he see?
He starts, like, his skin's starting
little,
to peel.
Yeah, little things. So he starts, of course,
right.
like any horror movie, he starts digging at it.
And when I was a kid, this was a heck of a lot more realistic than what it is now.
Yeah.
You can really tell the prosthetic, whatever. But it doesn't matter. I mean, this is the only part that I was a little concerned about showing my 5-year-old.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just kind of prefaced it. It was like, look, it's a puppet.
Right.
Go, look, they made him look like a puppet. Because she could tell it didn't really look like
right, that. Because this is very... I mean, it's well done, but 82 well
right.
done, and Steven Spielberg well done. It's,
right.
It's not like you, blood. It's,
right, but it's just so...
It's just like
rips.
Yeah.
Is this the part you're talking about, the gore?
Yeah.
I mean, he starts ripping his face apart, and chunks are falling. It's so much like blood.
Yeah, like gunks of like jello,
jello
or something mixed in with fat lard and
exactly.
stuff. And he's peeling it to the bone and stuff like that.
And then kind of flashes and he realizes, you know, like it was just a vision. And all the while this is going on, Ray Parker Jr., he's sitting in his chair.
And what I don't understand, he's got the headphones on and he's listening to music.
Right.
I mean, I guess you can get bored even
right.
with stuff like
but
this.
But he's got monitors,
on.
He's not looking at it, and you can see little things of light flashing across.
Stuff's happening.
You know, stuff's happening, exactly. And
yep.
he's not watching those monitors. And it's like, you know, come on. And
camera's moving around it. So it must be picking up the energy
mm-hmm.
and moving to where it's at.
Now, does that happen with video cameras? Like, I know we know about you know, EVP,
yeah.
You know, electronic voice phenomenon.
Yeah, this is.
Do we know any of that? Like where it happens in with video?
No, that's
not that I'm aware of.
And even with today's technology, like Ghost Hunters, these paranormal shows and stuff like that, mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen a camera that will actually go and direct itself towards the energy of like
right.
a signature or something like that. I could be wrong, but mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen that. But back then, this is what it's actually picking up the energy source, and it moves up to the stairwell.
Right.
You know,
and the fellow that tore his face, right, he starts backing into the other room and starts seeing some light. He actually starts manifesting in our dimension. And is this where they see, just kind of like a billowy kind of, not a ghost, doesn't really have like any kind of human form or anything.
Right.
And just kind of disappears into the ceiling.
Yeah.
And then I think they go back and start watching the video.
Yes, and you can see
they have some.
It's
human
like
form.
All the spirits, and they go look at all of them.
Right, they have some human form, and we'll find out a little bit more about what these people were later on.
Right.
So this is at the point, you know, too much is going on. They're going to send the kids.
Oh, and
you know,
this is
grandma's or whatever.
This is what gets me too, though. It's just Robbie in the taxi.
Right.
They get a taxi, and they put. This is how times have changed, too.
Right. Would you put your kid in a taxi nowadays, just send him somewhere?
Yeah. Hey, mister, can you make sure he gets to such and such address? I mean, I can't see that
different
happening.
Different times.
Yeah.
Different time.
But and the dog goes
they let me
them.
Out at 4 years old, leave me outside all day.
Ah.
4 or 5 years old. I learned how to tell times I knew at 3 o'clock cartoons were on.
You know what? Yeah. That's the way it was.
Yeah, I just was out in the backyard, neighborhood, you know, just causing trouble.
We become a paranoid society and
things...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if things have changed or if it's just more prevalent now.
It's more prevalent now because it's on the TV.
I got to think perverts were always around.
Oh, yeah.
But I definitely think, you know, our blessed internet has probably exacerbated a lot of it.
Of course it has.
What's available on it.
Of course.
So so the morning comes, you know, the older daughter, Dana, I think she's just going to stay with friends. You know, she's still there, but she's, you know, out with friends. And this is, I think, is where they're going to tell.
They don't say where Carol Ann's at. Oh, she's in another world.
Yeah, she's in another world.
I'm joking. She's being babysitted by the spirits.
And, I think this is where we get to a point where the researchers realize, you know, we've got to bring somebody else in here.
Right.
There's nothing that we're going to be able to do.
Yeah,
right? We've documented that it's real.
Right.
But now we've got to...
And that's where she's leaving, the woman, the older investigator.
Right.
She said she's going to leave... whatever his name is there, the
Ray
black
Parker
guy.
Jr., he's going to stick around.
But she said, unfortunately, what's his name's out.
Right.
You know,
right.
Which I understand completely.
Right. And,
but she will bring help.
Right.
So.
And that's where we'll meet Tangina, cute little lady.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get into a little side part with Steve Freeling's boss.
Yeah.
He ends up.
He's like, are you still sick? You
see,
he thinks he just wants to go to another. He's been offered a position
somewhere else. He even offers him. He takes him up on a big hill, which is right by a cemetery, and says, you know, this could be your new house. We're going to start phase 5. You know, there's different phases of the development. And
this
know,
is where we find
run,
out
you know.
About the cemetery and the graveyard.
Yeah, Steve says, well, what about all this? He's like, oh, we'll just relocate. We've already got the permits. We're going to relocate the graves, you know, just 5 minutes down the road, and everything will be cool.
And we find out later that he didn't actually really...
Yeah, he didn't do everything he's supposed to do.
He just moved the gravestones, not the...
Right, that's going to come down.
And I'm saying this just basically because I think everybody knows the plot, who's going to listen to this. And,
right.
And it's not... You know, doesn't take from the movie, but he looks like he's very sorry towards the end when all this happens.
Oh, bet he is.
Yeah. But, you know, holy crap, what did I do?
Yeah, I mean, and ultimately, you know, the responsibility was this dude's. It's his fault.
It's all about money and greed and land development.
Instead of doing what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
But, so there's this little side part just to, you know, kind of, you know, show that, you know, he's... It's affecting his real life as well, his work.
Right.
Things like that. So we're going to get to the part where Little Miss Tangina...
They do come back and they bring the psychic, the little lady.
This lady who's about 3.5 feet tall.
She's cute, though.
She's kind of cute, you know? And she's got the little southern accent. Yeah. And I believe this lady's in the other two.
I think you're right,
I think Heather O'Rourke, Carol Ann... And this little Tangina, I forgot the actress's name. She's really good as this character. But I believe those are the two characters that repeat in part 2 and 3. And I got to tell you, I don't even know if I've ever seen part 2 and 3. I couldn't tell you what they're about.
Yeah.
I know one of them has, like, a big high-rise building, and...
Yeah, I can't remember.
Or I think the second one still does have the family in it. I think the second one does have, except for Dana.
Yeah.
Because that's another part of the curse where, the poltergeist curse. Well, she was 22 years old.
And yeah, her boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend strangled her to death.
Yeah.
Just, I think just a couple months after the film came out.
Yeah.
She was 22
years old. Jealous husband. Boyfriend.
So her character was kind of, you know, not, obviously not, written out somewhere, maybe in college or something like that. I don't know if I've ever seen the movie, but, you know, it's...
Is it the priest, too, that ends up dying?
I think so.
The reverend or something like that?
I know that four other, I believe, actors in the other two films...
And we won't go through them all, because I can't
I don't know them well enough to know.
Right.
And I know about six people. And the only other movie I can think of that had, you know, deaths and weird things going on was Exorcist. And it's just kind of funny how... You know, two films that deal with some pretty heavy subject matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Both had some weird things going on behind the scenes. And there is another reason why people feel that this film series is cursed. I won't talk about it till the end. Maybe you don't know about it. But we'll get to it. Because it's like one of the reasons why people think that all these bad things happen.
Yeah.
But we get to little Tangina, the little psychic lady. And I remember...
Go ahead.
Oh, she goes upstairs. I think she asked him a question. Yeah, is this what you're going to say too?
Yeah,
and he tried. You know, he's looking like this.
Yeah,
I said, aren't you going to answer him? I am.
I'm trying to send her the thought because he doesn't believe her.
Right,
his daughter's missing. He's not going to believe that little
just
psychic
a dad who
woman.
Wants his girl back.
Right,
and she does come back. It's like, you know, it's like she couldn't have heard what they said up there, but she did hear, and so that gives her a little bit of credence.
Yeah,
and you know, she explains, you know, I feel your daughter's, you know,
presence here,
and you know, we're gonna get her out. We're gonna figure this out.
Yeah,
and this starts, you know, putting together the plan to get her out, which is actually very daring.
Yes. And very different too. I mean, she asked where the center of it all happened and stuff.
Mm-hmm,
I think,
mm-hmm.
and they mentioned the closet again.
Right.
So this is all going to lead back up to the room, you know.
Right, how they're going to get her up, and
she gets what, a couple tennis balls.
They do a little experiment first. By you know, because the energy's so bright in that closet, it's still that opening is still there when they go into the room, and you know, they throw that in there and it comes out through that living room, you know, through the ceiling in the living room. So they realize this is the entrance, this is the exit, and if we can figure out a way to get in there,
mm-hmm.
get Carol Ann, you know, it's like someone, you know, willingly going into this other dimension, finding Carol Ann, bringing her back, and you know, being able to exit through, you know, and that's where they get the idea of the rope.
Yeah.
You know?
She's going up... Well, she goes up to the... I wish I knew the lady's name, but whatever.
What, the little lady?
Yeah.
Her character's name is Tangina.
Okay, Tangina.
Okay.
Yeah, they do make it up to the Carol Ann's room. And
right.
She's trying to coax the girl out, I think. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're going to do the rope. And at first, Tangina's going to go in there. She's going to do it, but the mom says, you know, she's not going to come to you. She doesn't know you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've never done this before, have you? And, you know, I've never done it before either. So it only makes sense for...
I do like how they throw the balls, and it actually goes through and down and out downstairs, mm-hmm. underneath the middle of the living room.
That's what,
and he's like, the black guy's down there going, holy Moses, it worked.
Oh, yeah, and it's all covered with ectoplasm, if I remember correctly. Kind of like in Ghostbusters, you know, I've been slimed.
Yeah.
Because my daughter asked what that is. I said, remember Ghostbusters and they got slimed?
Looks kind of like the same kind of stuff, yeah.
Right. So they try it a couple times. You know, they even mark the ball
so
that they know that it's the right ball.
Yeah, and then that's when she knows it's working, so she throws the rope in there. And
right.
How she even knew that, but yeah, it went through and down,
mm-hmm.
and they start getting, you know, pick up some slack on it, so he pulls it down to tighten it up and all that.
So this is the rope, so the mom's going to tie herself with the rope.
Right.
Dad was going to go in there and get her. You know, I can imagine myself wanting to do that, not, you know, to protect my family.
Same here,
but she even says, you know, who's going to be strong enough to pull me back if you need to pull me back?
Mm-hmm.
So she goes in there, and, you know, when he's going to pull back, you know, because dad's getting a little worried.
Yeah.
He's going to pull back and pull her out. And then this huge
big
demon monster.
Head.
Awesome effect. comes through. Yeah. Real frightening. Oh. My daughter even kind of jumped a little bit.
Imagine that coming out of your closet.
Yeah, she went like that. Yeah, that was a woo moment for her. Yeah. I don't think she'll forget that tonight.
Oh.
And, but it works. It works. They fall through the bottom. You know, Mom, she's got Caroline. They're covered in that ectoplasm. They immediately take them to the shower, get them cleaned up.
Well, and I have to throw the scene here where... they did come through, and I don't think they knew that they were going to be covered that much in ectoplasm and all that. Mm-hmm. And when they carried them and took them to the bathroom, the tub was filled.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just filled with water. There was bubble bath in there.
To wash it all off.
So ready. They had, so either that's a little blooper, which I had to bring that up. It was just all filled with bubble bath and water and cleaned them up. So, it's just one of those things that I think they didn't even think of, and they just put them in the tub with water. They didn't turn it on or nothing. If I was directing it, I would say, get them in the tub, turn on the shower on.
Exactly.
Let's not just rush them to a already pre-filled bathtub with bubble bath.
That was going to say Toby directed.
He said, hey, put them in a tub. Steven ain't here. What do we care?
It's a good idea, man.
You got that right, man.
And the daddy's trying to wake him up. They wake up, and she's so cute when Caroline, when she wakes up. Hi, daddy.
Yeah, that's the first thing she says. I mean,
just melts your heart.
Yeah.
And but they said, we're getting the heck out of this house.
Yeah.
Next morning, they're already moving. There's a moving truck there. Yep. I think some days have gone by. But they're packing up boxes.
Yeah. They're getting ready to go to the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, and Caroline doesn't seem to really remember. She's not giving any indication that she remembers anything.
Right.
I think I get a little feeling later on that she does remember. The spirits aren't done yet.
Yeah.
And, and a lot of people think, oh, this is the end of the movie.
You would think it is.
I love how it's not the end of the movie. I love how they try again.
Yeah.
So they're packing up boxes. They are going to go to the Holiday Inn that night, but the dad says, I've got to go. I think he's going to quit his job.
Yeah, he's going to tell the boss that's it, But the part that I don't get is, even after all of that happened,
leaving his family there?
You're leaving your family there. Not only that, the girl and the boy, Caroline and Robbie, are both in their beds, in the bedroom, laying down. There ain't no way.
Right. Even the little Tangina, after all this happened, she says, this house is clean.
Yeah.
Because they said, she's, and that's what they call it, cleaning houses. I know there's a lady here locally, I forgot her name, but it's partially based on what
I think it's Marianne.
Mary
and
something.
She lives in Lakewood, Ohio.
And she's pretty famous. I think that's even what Ghost Whisperer or something based on her
character. Because we're here in Ohio, and Lakewood, Ohio is where, if you were to look her up on Facebook or Wikipedia.
And she does that, and goes, we'll go to homes and see if you've got spirits. I've never...
You can actually call her up, and she'll tell you if there's spirits in your house just by talking to you online. Very interesting. She's been on Art Bell and Ghost to Ghost quite a few times. So,
some people do have that gift. I believe.
I do. I do too.
My wife worked with someone who was very sensitive, and most of the time when she said something to her, it turned out to be right. Or she would say something to other people, and my wife would be present during it, and it turned out to be right.
Yeah.
And my wife had never really experienced anything like that, and I do believe some people are just a little bit more sensitive to things or can sense things more than others can. And, it's not always a gift, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to know that something bad was going to happen to somebody. But Tina claims the house is clean.
Yeah, and I do like how they're in their rooms, though, back, which, whatever. I'll just skip that. Because
most of their toys are all boxed up, but that damn clown is still there.
Well, and there's been... Steven Spielberg made sure those Star Wars figures were still in
Star
there.
Wars case.
Darth Vader's still there. And there's a couple other figures in the bed with them.
Well, Carol Ann's chewing on Luke. She's got Luke in her mouth. The old school one from 77 that we all had with the retractable lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
It was yellow. You never saw a yellow lightsaber.
Yeah.
And I love how her doll and her bed, the head is not even attached.
And she pushes
it
down.
Down to the body. But she acts like, she's acting perfectly normal. Kids are fighting over toys like they normally do.
But the mother puts them to sleep and goes into the bathtub and
to color her hair.
And nice soap.
It got gray a little bit.
It got gray.
The experience. It got a little gray. Yeah. Like Anna in Frozen.
Yeah, another little tidbit there that's interesting.
We can tag that now.
But she's hashtag gray hair.
Frozen. We can tag Frozen. And she's taking her nice relaxing bath. And,
yeah, no care over whatever happened. I know I'm getting into that now, but yeah, that's.
But they were, you know, they feel like it's all over. Right, the house was clean, and you know, they figured the day because it almost looked like, you know, the portal kind of closed up and you know, pushed Tangina back against the wall.
Yeah,
and they kind of feel like, you know, this is it. They've defeated the monster, but
and her bath water is very, very scalding hot.
Steam all over the place.
I mean, if you see that much smoke coming off your bath water, you're going to hurt yourself.
Well, I like a good hot bath, though. It's very relaxing. Calgon, take me away.
Calgon! Okay.
So, back in the kids' room, Robbie hears a little thump.
Yep.
Well, at first he tries to throw the jacket on the clown again, but misses and it falls down.
Oh, yeah.
And he hears a little thump. Clown's not in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking around. He looks down over the bed. That clown's hands grab him, pulls him right under the bed.
Tries taking him. Yeah, does get him under the bed.
Yeah, it does. And Robbie manages to get him up on the bed, and he's punching the heck out of him. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
That's when the closet.
And the closet opens up again. Same stuff starting to go down. While this is going on, you think Mom could come and help. Mm-hmm. Mom's getting attacked in her bedroom.
Right. Classic scene from Scary Movie 2. Where Tori Spelling is dragged up the wall and down the side. That's where they get it from. I mean, I'm just saying.
Cause and they also use that. Head, but. The only other movie I know that did something like this, where she's getting dragged up the wall and the ceiling. I don't know how they did it in this movie, but this also happened in the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right.
Before. And I know in
was that Johnny film, Depp?
Yeah, Johnny Depp. Yeah, that was one of his, if not his first movie, one of his first movies.
Right, yeah.
And I know in that film, they built the room on like a big rotunda and turned it. I don't know if that's how they did it here. It's the only way I could think of that they could have done that.
Yeah.
But she, you know, the whole time she's like, you know, stay away from my babies. And probably one of my favorite parts of the film is she goes out of the room. She's trying to get in the kids' room.
Yeah.
And this awesome, I mean, I think it's a puppet that they use, but they lit it such a way of a demonic monster. I mean,
almost looks like the very first Spawn toy of
the Violator.
Violator,
yeah, if you remember that.
Looks a little bit like that skeleton type face, long limbs,
skinny body, legs.
Yeah, but you said that was one of your favorite scenes. One of my favorite scenes was when she was laying in the bed and before the spirit attacked her and starts ripping up her shirt and clothes.
A little bit of midriff there.
What's going on? Joe Beth. You're being attacked by a demon. Okay.
Yeah.
A little bit of the entity.
I'll take what I can get. When I was 7 years old in 1982, I took what I could get.
But they're freaking out again.
How does she manage to get outside? She goes outside.
Yeah, she ends up in the pool in again the pool. And stuff because and she's looking. I can't remember what she was doing. She was.
Yeah, she just kind of like runs out of the house. Yeah. And
well, I think because she was so scared and that thing wouldn't let her
right,
in the room.
Right, because it knocked her down the stairs.
Yeah. And she tried to get up and it shocked her.
Oh, that's right, the handrails.
Yeah.
It was like touching electric fence and it just like shoved
her
away.
She might have been trying to, hey, I'm going to go climb up that. The tree was gone too, so I don't know what she was doing. She was just out of the house.
Right.
And the kids were still up in the room.
The kids are in the room and all this weird growth stuff starts growing around the door.
Locking
the closet.
It. You can't get in.
I kind of think the spirit was kind of forcing her out of the house.
Could be.
And
I think they let her know because this is when you realize that this whole development has been, you know, the gravestones were taken, but all the dead bodies are still there. So the coffins are like, which is cool.
Right.
They're popping out of the ground.
Skeletons.
Doors opening up. Skeletons coming up. She's in the pool. There's all kinds of skeletons coming up
through the house.
So yeah.
Now here is the part that I want to talk about, why some people think the curses, maybe, I don't know if you know this or not, they used real human skeletons.
Did they?
Yes. They used real human skeletons that were donated for, you know, whatever, people donate their bones, whatever.
Okay.
And it was cheaper to use real human skeletons than to fabricate all these fake skeletons. And I know there's even a part where Jo Beth Williams is in the water, and everyone was very freaked out about this, and
Yeah.
I had read that Steven Spielberg even got in there with her. Like, during the scene, he's in there. He's in that water with her. But you don't see him.
Yeah.
But they used real... All the skeletons that you see in this film are real human skeletons.
Hmm.
And some people thought that because they used the dead in such a way that maybe that was one of the reasons why the film is cursed. But
I can't believe that would be true. But I can see where...
They did. It was cheaper. Yeah. I read it a couple places.
Wow.
And... because it was just cheaper, you know, because people donate their bodies to science and things like that.
But yeah,
and it was just cheaper to, you know, go to like a medical university and buy some human
skeletons.
You think
they were really that cut on the budget, though, that Steven Spielberg said,
you got to hire people, you got to hire union guys, you know, you got to fabricate all these things, dress them, gunk them up.
Yeah.
And
guess there's more involved with it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, anybody out there, but that is honestly what I read in a couple of places.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes sense with what was going on in this movie, and I choose to believe it then.
Yeah.
Because a lot of spooky stuff happened while they were making this movie, and people died, and, you know, there are some practical effects like rotting corpses and things like that. I believe those were probably fabricated.
Right.
But the actual skeletons, like in the pool and stuff, I read that those were real human skeletons.
Yeah.
So,
there
you go. And the one part that kind of led me to believe that maybe Carol Ann still remembered is like when the door starts opening in the closet again. This happens a little bit before we see the skeleton. She says, you know, no more. So that kind of says to me that, you know,
Carol Ann,
in the back of her mind, she still remembers what happened to her.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole neighborhood's going to pot. You know, everyone starts seeing all these lights and things flashing.
The mother does pull Robbie and Carol Ann out of the
room. She runs back upstairs.
So they didn't get sucked into the portal
scene
again.
The hallway, kind of like Alfred Hitchcock-ish,
The
hallway starts
super
looking like
long.
It's longer. And
love that scene.
Yeah, she runs down there. She's able to open the door. And the kids, they're hanging on the bed just like before.
Oh, yeah.
Desperately trying not to go into that closet, which is now
Robbie's
turned into
hand.
Almost a gaping maw, sarlacc pit kind of thing with tentacles coming out of it. And
the spirit activity is way bigger this time.
Yeah, off the scale.
Yeah.
And she's hanging on the door saying, you know, take my hand, grab your sister. And and it manages to work human chain and just, you know, bring them in.
Yeah, human centipede. I mean, chain.
Please, no.
Let's not talk about Human Centipede 3. But anyways, go ahead. Yes, so the father does end up coming.
Yeah.
And he sees the whole house.
Dad, he was going to quit his job.
He rolls up with his boss.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't ask me why he brought him home with him. Maybe he's driving home and this guy's still on him and says, I'm not leaving.
Right. And that's
you're not leaving.
Scene
until,
where he grabs him
and
tells him, you just moved the headstones.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mr. Bossman's realizing what's going on.
Yeah.
They're going to get in the car. They got the dog. They got the two kids. They're getting the hell out. Neighbors on a date with somebody.
Yeah.
She pulls up at that last minute, but Dad's fumbling for his keys. He's getting there trying to start the car.
Takes three keys before he gets it in there.
And, Dana shows up right at the last minute. And I love when she gets out of the car, she's got a huge hickey on her neck. Real classy.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, yeah, watch it. When she gets out of the car, huge red mark right here on her neck.
So those construction guys knew something.
I guess so, man. She got a little taste.
Oh, wow.
Or they got a little taste. And, she's, what's happening? And I love Robbie. She's just like, Dad, drive. Like, you don't even care that she's... drive away. Dan ends up getting the car. They peel rubber out of the neighborhood. Yeah. Everyone in the neighborhood's watching this happen, and I love how the house...
Oh, yeah, I love the boss is just... Well, his ex-boss, the guy who developed the place, is just looking at everything, caving in and pulling the house inside.
Yeah, like a singularity.
Like a black hole just collapsing on top itself.
And however they did that, I don't even, always like to watch how they make things.
Yeah.
I'm not a big, like on Blu-ray or DVDs, I'm not a big extras guy.
Yeah.
I don't always like to have the magic destroyed. And just however they did that, it just worked so cool. And it looked awesome.
Yeah.
Didn't look fake to me.
Yeah.
That looked real.
When I saw you in half that one time, you didn't want to know how I did it.
No.
So
I
understand.
I wish you had sawed me this way, though. Kind of put some of that off there. So, yeah, they pull into whatever little
Holiday Inn
or
hotel.
Like and
I love this, too, when they do take the family, they go into the hotel, go into the room,
Everyone
close does. It, and then he opens it again. And he pushes out that TV, that rollaway TV.
I love it.
Just great because, yeah, they want nothing. This family probably will never watch TV again.
I think in the second one, they don't. They don't have TVs.
Okay, yeah. I can see that.
I may have seen the second one. I don't know.
You know, I did, but it's so long ago that I really don't remember any of it.
And then we got the cool music at the end.
La,
la, la. Almost reminiscent of... Rosemary's Baby little theme there, the la 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 part there. But they're singing the little Carol Ann theme.
Once again, one of my favorite movies, Rosemary's Baby.
So, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
We'll have to do that one sometime.
Yeah.
But Poltergeist, I mean, okay, remake it if you will, but why? Why would you just put this out in theaters again?
Well, that's what they do, Ted. They take something that's great, and because nothing's working out there right now. There's a big turn in the movie industry.
Fury Road's working pretty good.
Well... Yeah, but they come out with one a year. I mean, well, how many do they come out with a year?
Movies?
Yeah, I mean, whereas we used to get how many great movies a year?
It's true.
Even the bad B movies, some of them were great. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's just, you know, there's not really nothing to look forward to.
I guess the only good thing maybe is this maybe gets people interested. You know, a redo gets people interested. Watching hey, let me go watch it. Because a lot of times you can't even get, you know, I mean, I used to be a teacher. You can't get kids to watch.
He don't teach no more because
they keep me away from kids.
Yeah, you know. He's dyslexic.
Right, right.
And, I think the teacher just said give him his diploma.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, and then when you went to go teach the kids, you had no idea what you were doing.
No, I was completely unprepared.
And they went home crying to their parents. This is... small community, and they really got on him about it. But I'm joking!
Pitchforks and torches.
I'm joking!
But you can't get kids to watch older stuff. I mean, if they hear a movie's more than 20 years old, you know, a lot of times, not all kids, not just... But, you know, a lot of younger people from this generation say, I'm not watching that.
Just so happens that we love this kind of movies, and we kind of show our kids the same kind of thing.
My daughter watched the whole thing, loved it.
Yes.
And another cool thing about this movie is it originally was given an R rating.
Okay.
Because of the horror elements and the dude tearing his face apart and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Spielberg was really, and the director Toby Hooper were really behind the charge to get that appealed.
Yeah.
And they did end up giving it a PG. PG-13 did not exist at that time, but this movie... Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom because of the heart, pulling out the heart scene.
Right.
Gremlins, especially the part where they shoved, the gremlins tearing ass all over the town. And I think, like, the microwave and the blender scene when they, chopped them off. That's what ushered in the PG-13 rating.
Huh.
So it started with Poltergeist, where it was kind of just in between, you know?
Yeah.
So, but Poltergeist was originally an R-rated film. And, you know, they appealed that to get it a PG movie. And I got to say, you know, I let my daughter watch it, but sometimes, you know, like some of those scenes, you know, she's watched a lot of monster movies with me. So I feel like she's okay with it.
Yeah.
But you got to base it, you know, on your child, you know. I could see how some children could be absolutely freaked out by this if they're not used to things like this. So
even the it doesn't have to be gory or bloody or nothing like that. Some kids
because something's happening to a kid.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, each kid's different. You go by what you know as a parent that they're able to watch. You know, so
my child was able to watch this. If you think your kid would dig it, you know, jump on in because I love the monster movies and I want to share them all with my kids.
Yeah,
just a great movie. I hadn't seen it in a while. I saw it a bunch as a kid growing up.
Yeah,
but I hadn't watched it lately. I hadn't revisited it for a long time, and we thought with the new one coming out, it might be cool to dive into this one.
Yeah.
I'm old school. I don't usually go see remakes and things like that. If this dude tells me it's good, maybe I'll watch it later on Blu-ray or something. But I just can't imagine that it would be, you know, worth watching over and over again when you got perfection
right here. You know, I look at remakes as the original is what it is and it's great. And if the remake is good, you know, so you went and seen a good movie.
But I'm different with it. You know, like...
I know you are.
Say it's a movie based on a book. Let the Right One In.
Right.
You have the Swedish version, you have the American version.
Mm-hmm.
I love them both. And I don't really view the American one as a remake. It's just another interpretation of the book.
Exactly.
They both have merit. Same thing with, like, True Grit. I don't really care for the John Wayne one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge John Wayne fan, but I loved the Coen Brothers one with Jeff Bridges. Right. I don't see True Grit as a remake. I see it as just another reinterpretation of the book.
Right.
But Poltergeist was an original screenplay story. It wasn't a book first. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, you know, if something's based on a book, you know, like if someone wants to remake Lord of the Rings in 30 years, you know, I'll go see it.
Right. You can. No, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. If, you know, if you can reinterpret the movie in a different way.
But, you know, remaking Friday the 13th and, oh, I just caught a bug.
Bug flying.
And Nightmare Before, I mean, not Nightmare Before Christmas. Don't touch Nightmare Before Christmas, even though it is based on a book.
Oh, they'll never remake that, I wouldn't think. That's stop motion.
Or, you know, if they remade Star Wars or...
I would remake Nightmare Before Christmas and with actual people. No stop motion. Why not?
I'd give you about 20 reasons why not.
Okay,
or, you know, like Nightmare on Elm Street, stuff like that. I mean, there was no reason to... You know, I think it's just to bring it to a new audience. You know,
exactly.
They think, hey, the movie's 25 years old. But I get it. Studios think, hey, we can. It's cheap to make. Horror movies don't cost a whole lot to make, and they usually make a ton of money, like those Paranormal Activity movies.
Oh,
they make serious bank, and they cost nothing to make.
Exactly.
And at the same time, it might get people interested in the old one, and then you'll see the price, you know, the numbers on the Blu-rays and DVDs rise on that.
Exactly.
Because people want to check out the old one. So that's, I get their reasons for doing it.
Yeah.
But don't expect me to run out and buy a ticket. Because Fury Road's playing, and I'm going to go see that again.
Oh, well, that's at the top of my list next. I got to go see that.
Absolutely.
Definitely. But anyways, there we go.
Yeah.
Poltergeist. You hope you guys liked, checked out the movie. I'm sure you like it. And, probably mostly fans. So.
Right. We'll post what we're going to do next week.
Yeah.
Happy Memorial Day. See, even holidays, we don't rest.
No, yeah, we're doing this right on Memorial Day.
Exactly.
Bless the soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And, we'll post what we do next. Check out our Facebook page. Subscribe to us in iTunes. And please leave a review. If you like us, leave a review.
If you don't like us,
helps us out with them. With iTunes and YouTube, too. That does it for this week, man. And next week, we'll let you guys know what we do and hope you liked it. Yep.
Absolutely. See you next week.
Yep.